Welcome to Crossroads. There's a new moon race brewing, and this time it's between the United States and China. The Chinese regime has now declared they found water and minerals on soil samples they've been analyzing from a lunar probe back in 2020. And the recent discovery of this is now spurring a competition over who's going to build the first moon base, and possibly who can establish a functioning system on the moon to begin taking advantage of the alleged water supply and other minerals. And alongside this as well, there's also a military ambition and a race to control and potentially even weaponize the entire Earth-Moon system. Now first, on this discovery of water on the moon, USA Today said that, you know, one crucial component to make the outpost on the moon feasible, well, the presence of water. For years, NASA has been developing and preparing a rover designed to find and study water ice on the moon's mysterious South Pole, where the substance is thought to be abundant. This is the $500 million price tag for its Volatiles Investigating Polar Exploration Rover, or Viper, was thought to be well worth the investment and essentially conduct reconnaissance ahead of future crewed missions. But then, it says, in July, the unexpected happened. $450 million and multiple delays later, NASA scuttled the Viper launch altogether. It says in a press release, the U.S. Space Agency promised it was still dedicated to exploring the moon as part of its ambitious Artemis campaign, NASA's first lunar program since the Apollo era. But the setback came as China, a major lunar competitor, seeks to become a dominant spacefaring force in its own right. It notes that just recently, Chinese scientists analyzed soil samples of the nation's lunar probe brought back in 2020 to find water and other minerals in the soil, a potentially groundbreaking discovery that could have implications for lunar habitation, the ability to have people actually live on the moon. Now, the CCP has announced its ambitions for the moon. It's not just about scientific exploration. For the Chinese Communist Party, this is dual use. It ties in, of course, with the CCP's like scientific endeavors. It also ties in with its government ambitions. It also ties in with economy. There's a lot to this, notably like helium-3. Helium-3, notably, is a type of material that would be necessary if we were ever to develop fusion energy and make that a, you know, plausible form of like energy. The CCP has been trying to develop fusion as opposed to fission, right? Nuclear reactors. Fission being the splitting of atoms, fusion being the bringing together of them to create energy. This type of kind of futuristic, you know, nuclear reactor based on fusion energy is thought to be the future of energy for the world. They're trying to develop it, but they would need helium-3 for it, and the moon is believed to be abundant with helium-3. But also for the CCP, of course, there's a military side to this. And this is where it gets pretty complicated for the United States. Now, on this note, the Chinese Communist Party has also talked about building moon bases, and notably working with Russia on the construction of moon bases like this. So when they're talking about habitation on the moon, remember, if you're going to build a base on the moon, you're not just going to go and build it and have some people live there and that's it. You need to have a two-way street. You need to have transportation. You need to have different assets in place. You need to have an entire infrastructure moving between the Earth and the Moon to make that plausible. Now, others have noted the Chinese Communist Party's military ambitions tied in with that specifically. Notably, it has a bid to control the entire Earth-Moon system, a move that could not only weaponize space, but also deny access to space for other nations. You know, what happens if the Chinese Communist Party declares ownership over the entire moon? What happens if the Chinese Communist Party declares ownership over certain orbits? What happens if the Chinese Communist Party declares ownership over certain routes between the Earth and the moon? Well, it sounds far-fetched, but they're already doing this in the South China Sea. They're already doing this in different regions of the world. How far off is it that they could do this within the Earth-Moon system? And this is becoming one of the big concerns for the United States. Now, in this context, the Chinese Communist Party has been directly calling out the United States as it moves towards its ambitions with the moon. Now, the Washington Post said this. They said, Beijing is celebrating its successful world-first mission to collect samples from the far side of the moon, saying U.S. efforts to deter China can't keep it from making giant steps in space. And remember, giant steps, that's kind of a a reference to Neil Armstrong, right, going to the moon, where he declared that this is, you know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Now, the country, China, it says, had a unique advantage in the system of mobilizing all resources nationwide. Everything's under the CCP, right? To advance its space ambitions. China National Space Administration's Vice Administrator Bian Zijiang said Thursday in Beijing's first public comment since the return. Note that Chinese officials blamed a long-standing U.S. law that prohibits direct space research cooperation for stopping the two powers working together. But the United States' stance, it says, cannot prohibit China from making giant steps forward in its space program, he said, noting the project allowed the country to hone key technology areas that would boost long-term space capabilities. Now, the history of why, you know, NASA is not allowed to work with China is important here, because the CCP is making it sound like, oh, the U.S. is just being hostile. This is what really happened. Back in 2007, the Chinese Communist Party was perfectly able to work with NASA. Then what happened? Well, in 2007, they used a space missile, an anti-satellite missile, and they used that to destroy a satellite in orbit. And that sent space debris permanently barreling through orbit. If a single bolt from that destroyed satellite or a single tiny piece of metal from that destroyed satellite were to hit a satellite or a rocket or anything else leaving, you know, Earth for orbit, it would destroy it. That was considered extremely dangerous, extremely irresponsible, and something that the CCP could even use to basically deny entire orbits from being used. That raised concerns also around the public-private partnership between, you know, scientific endeavors with China and its military. Now, that test raised concerns, again, not over just the CCP's disregard for space safety, but the danger also of creating space debris, but also, more importantly, the dual nature of its space programs with its military, because it publicly demonstrated its militarization of space technology. Now remember, for the Chinese Communist Party, even in their own statement, they declared that they have the ability to mobilize all resources nationwide. And remember, you know, for the United States, this is regarded as more of a scientific thing. For the Chinese Communist Party, being a totalitarian communist regime, it's able to use everything to its advantage. That means using private businesses. That means using even individuals. It means using investment. It means using, you know, national universities and tying all these into, again, mobilizing all resources with its military and other things like that. For the Chinese Communist Party, there's no hard line between public and private. There's no hard line between scientific and military. And so for the Chinese Communist Party, again, this is something that represents the entire agenda of the CCP, whether it's hostile or peaceful, and sometimes a bit of both. Now, just recently as well, the CCP began launching a so-called mega constellation. This is a new satellite network that could allegedly compete with Elon Musk's Starlink, and this ties in with this whole bid to control the Earth-Moon system. I'll be talking about this more to come back from a quick break.
Experts agree one of the best ways to protect against financial uncertainty is to diversify your portfolio. Learn how physical gold and silver can secure your retirement funds from today's economic challenges with a gold IRA from American Hartford Gold. You can safeguard your wealth with no penalties or taxes when you transfer your current qualifying retirement accounts. Call now and our precious metals specialists will send you a free information kit, no cost or obligation. American Hartford Gold, a trusted industry leader with an A-plus from the Better Business Bureau, has a 5-star rating from thousands of happy clients. Whether you are getting physical precious metals in a gold IRA or delivered to your doorstep, we offer only the highest quality gold and silver. For your peace of mind, we also offer a no-fee buyback commitment, a low-price guarantee, along with free shipping and free insurance. So don't wait. Call the number on your screen today and secure your financial future.
Welcome back. The Chinese regime has now declared they found water on soil samples they brought back from the dark side of the moon. The discovery is now spurring a competition over who is going to build the first moon base and notably start up this whole new, you know, moon race. Just recently as well, the CCP began launching a so-called mega constellation. This is a new satellite network that could allegedly compete with Elon Musk's Starlink and notably, at least with information, create a bridge between the Earth and the Moon. Now, Ars Technica said this. They said Chinese officials have long signaled their interest in deploying a satellite network, or maybe several, to beam broadband internet signals across China and other nations within its sphere of influence. The creation of a CCP-led internet service that is an intranet disconnected from other internets. Now, it says that two serious efforts are underway in China to develop a rival to SpaceX's Starlink network, which the Chinese government has banned in its territory, which is hard to do because it's satellite, by the way. It says the first batch of 18 satellites for one of those Chinese networks launched into low Earth orbit Tuesday, just recently. Now, look, what's important about this satellite network is not really just its potential competition with Starlink, right? This, of course, does tie into other things like the Chinese Communist Party's bid to create a CCP-controlled internet that is available for export, which would mean the same types of restrictions the CCP has, the Great Firewall, all the blockades on free speech, would exist within any place the CCP built this infrastructure. But that's actually not the most important thing. What's most important is how this network, this whole satellite constellation, ties in with the CCP space agenda, and notably, again, into its agenda to control this whole Earth-Moon system. Interesting Engineering said this. They said China plans 30 satellite information superhighways to connect Earth and Moon. It notes that China is setting its sights on cislunar space dominance. It has unveiled plans for a comprehensive satellite network to revolutionize communication, navigation, and monitoring capabilities between Earth and the Moon. It notes as well that according to Yang Mengfei, chief designer of China's Chang'e 5 mission and his team, the cislunar space has emerged, cislunar being, of course, the space between the Earth and the Moon. It says the cislunar space has emerged as a new frontier for human activities, and said this, quote, activities in this region, the Earth-Moon system, right, cislunar system, are expected to expand rapidly over the next decade, fueling a new wave of global competition. And that's according to the team with this, by the way. And again, the global competition for the cislunar system would be the competition over who controls the Earth-Moon system. But by saying this, what the CCP is doing is admitting that they plan to, again, make that a main priority. They say there's going to be a lot of competition in the coming years over that region. And for the Chinese Communist Party, again, that's not just business, that's not just the future of energy with the potential of having helium-3 on the moon, which would, of course, feed into fusion energy reactors if they can ever make it mature enough to work. That also ties into its military ambitions. Now, they said this as well. The competition for resources such as orbital slots and radio frequency is already on. Again, the controlling of orbits, the controlling of different areas, right? Orbital slots, radio frequencies. Also, we don't think of the importance of radio. Actually, radio frequencies have limited room, and whoever controls them dominates them and can deny access to other countries or even other companies in some cases. These are actually limited assets, although we don't think of them like this. But they note as well that there's an urgent need for China to establish a top-level roadmap to develop cislunar space infrastructure and gain a competitive edge in the emerging cislunar economy. Again, infrastructure between the Earth and the Moon and the controlling of different regions between the Earth and the Moon. They're directly saying it here, in other words. Now, look, in addition to this, the Chinese Communist Party has tripled the number of its surveillance satellites over the last 6 years. And there have also been some bizarre incidents with the Chinese Communist Party's space programs. Like, for example, there was the recent unexplained incident where a secret Chinese space plane ejected a mysterious object into orbit. Now, look, it's still not known what that object actually was. There's some speculation that it could have been an anti-satellite weapon. Because anti-satellite weapons are not just rockets and missiles. They're also, for example, movable objects with robotic arms or even, like, sounds funny, but spray paint, where they can spray the lenses of satellites and make them non-functional. They have all kinds of technologies like this. But it's also in this context that the United States has been growing concerns over the CCP's military ambitions in space. And while the CCP tends to showcase its scientific efforts, you know, while giving subtle jabs at America's refusal to cooperate with it, the Chinese Communist Party on the other side has been very aggressive on its space weapons programs. And this ties into something else. Look, it's an unfortunate reality. The defense community, and the scientific community, the business community, even to an extent the political community, they tend to operate within separate bubbles. And they don't always recognize the problems between all of these different areas and how they interact. And this is especially the case for space. But look, when there are, you know, calls for cooperation in one field, there can be pointed military conflicts in another. And the space competition between China and the United States is like this, right? On the defense side, the risks of the CCP's space agendas, they're out in the open. Even though on the scientific side, they talk about, you know, the need for competition and so on. The military side is very different on this. The military side is discussing what we're talking about today. The military side is very concerned about the CCP's bid to control the cislunar or Earth-Moon system. Now, Rand notes this. They say Chinese leaders see themselves in competition with the United States to build military power in space. It says the ongoing development of U.S. and Chinese capabilities could lead to unstable competition in space, raising the risk of rapid and perhaps unintended military escalation. It says the findings suggest the PLA's thinking, People's Liberation Army, the Chinese military, on escalation dynamics in space has become significantly more risk-tolerant than that found in PLA documents published just a decade prior. They note this shift emphasizes Xi Jinping's guidance, again, being the head of the CCP, to be more proactive in shaping the international environment, which includes accepting higher risk, but carefully calibrated levels of risk, even through such proactive measures, they might result in unintended escalation with the United States. It says this higher escalation tolerance, and I'll explain what this means, is complicated by Chinese leaders' inflated threat perceptions of the United States and resultant policy approach that resists cooperating with the United States to arrest unintended crisis escalation. So, in normal terms, what that means, right? They say the Chinese Communist Party is no longer afraid of angering the United States in its bid to militarize space. It's no longer afraid to take risks that would make the United States maybe voice its concerns. It's no longer afraid to do things that will make the United States and the world respond in the same way they did in 2007 when the Chinese Communist Party demonstrated an ASAT or anti-satellite weapon and destroyed a satellite in orbit. The CCP is no longer afraid of that, meaning they're willing to do things that are kind of taboo. Now look, remember back during the Cold War, just emphasizing the importance of space. Ronald Reagan was talking about the Star Wars program, and that raised serious concerns over what it looks like if one country can weaponize space. Now, to emphasize how serious that is, if a country were to put a missile defense system in space, that would mean they could almost immediately intercept ballistic missiles. And that would mean that, you know, the whole threat of nuclear war, which is, you know, us not using them, is dependent on kind of mutually assured destruction. It would mean that one country could mitigate that threat of another country. If Russia were to launch its missiles, the U.S. with the Star Wars program during the Cold War could hypothetically intercept all of those, meaning we wouldn't be destroyed, but we would destroy them. And that was kind of the red line in the sand. You can't do that, right? That was the red line drawn in the sand. And so militarizing space like that was regarded almost to the same degree as launching a nuclear weapon, because you could eliminate another country's ability to fight back during a nuclear war. Not only that, but if you were to put not just missile defense systems in space, but even nuclear weapons in space, or even other types of weapons, they have another one that just drops massive poles, they call it rods from God, those would be absolutely destructive as well, you know, because of the amount of, you know, pull from the gravity. If you were to put nuclear weapons in space, if you were to militarize or weaponize space like this, it would mean that you could launch attacks that would be almost impossible to intercept. Because remember, the way that ballistic missiles work, that, you know, are used for nuclear attacks, is they actually launch into orbit and then they come back down. And usually it's during that slow period at that turn that they're able to be intercepted. Otherwise, they're too difficult to intercept. If you were to weaponize this in space, right, of course, it eliminates that capability because you're dropping it directly. Meaning, of course, it's game over. It's game over when it comes to nuclear weapons. Now, it's because of this, right, that the weaponization of space is regarded so serious. And at least, you know, for the CCP and the anti-satellite weapons as well, they're becoming a key component of its military. The CCP now, not being afraid to anger the United States or take risks, right, they're now doing this actively. Asia Times notes that Chinese scientists have proposed developing laser-equipped submarines to kill satellites stealthily from underwater, potentially revolutionizing anti-satellite ASAT weapon warfare. It says the South China Morning Post reported that People's Liberation Army scientists, led by Professor Wang Dan of the Naval Submarine Academy, have suggested that Chinese submarines could be equipped with megawatt-class solid-state laser weapons capable of targeting satellites such as SpaceX's extensive Starlink network while remaining submerged. They can stay underwater and do it. It says the report says this approach addresses the challenge of concealing ASAT operations, which rely on ground-to-air missiles that can easily betray the launch site's location. Now, remember how satellites fit into this. Satellites aren't just for communications. They're not just for, you know, the internet. Satellites are the eyes in the sky. Satellites are the GPS. And satellites, because of that, are part of the command and control system that enable the high-tech capabilities of a modern-day military. They would allow missiles to find their targets. They're what allow our ships to navigate. They're the things that all these high-tech systems depend on. And if you knock out the satellites, you knock out the eyes and ears of the military, and you have a blind and deaf military trying to fight a war. And so again, even targeting satellites is kind of a red line when it comes to, again, this form of warfare. Emphasizing again how serious it is that the Chinese Communist Party is kind of thrown out all the inhibitions with this, and they're openly doing it now. And look, this of course raises some concerns about the issue of space weapons overall. For the Chinese Communist Party, this is actually one of the main areas within its military focus. It's something regarded as a field that could give the Chinese Communist Party an upper hand against the United States were an actual war to take place. Now, the Telegraph says this. They say China is developing anti-satellite weapons as part of a breathtaking military expansion, U.S. defense experts have warned. They note that General Stephen Whiting, the head of the U.S. Space Command, said, quote, "Frankly, the People's Republic of China, the CCP, is moving at breathtaking speed in space, and they are rapidly developing a range of counter-space weapons, right, anti-satellite weapons and otherwise, to hold at risk our space capabilities." And General Whiting added that China had used, quote, "space capabilities to improve the lethality, the precision, and range of their terrestrial forces, the forces on Earth." Now, note that speaking of the U.S. Embassy in London, Colonel Raj Agrawal, commander of America's Space Delta II Force, also warned that China has shown a, quote, "clear intent to project its power through space and stressed the precision with which it could strike targets thousands of miles away beyond the curve of the Earth." Another individual, Lieutenant Colonel Travis Anderson, head of Space Force's Intelligence Squadron, also said its fleet of 350 satellites had, quote, "increased by 300% since 2018. And it notes that it allows them to look into the Indo-Pacific and find the U.S. and allied forces' ships. Now, in addition to this, it says that Beijing, the CCP, recently announced the creation of an information support force within the People's Liberation Army, their military, which will reform the way that cyber information logistics and space operations are run. Meaning the Chinese Communist Party is now establishing this as kind of a core component within its military. Now look, sure, the CCP, they're not doing well on the economic front, right? Internally, they're kind of falling apart, they're running out of money and so on. And domestically, the CCP is also suffering from pretty real issues of instability. But the CCP has mainly maintained its military programs. Just because the economy is suffering doesn't mean they're going to cut military spending. And even more so, there are concerns that as things get worse for the CCP internally, that the Chinese Communist Party may actually grow more dangerous externally, a trend we could already be watching, notably. And look, the CCP is even now talking about a futuristic mission for so-called planetary defense. They want to demonstrate an ability to redirect an asteroid heading toward Earth by 2030. Now look, to be fair, NASA actually already ran a successful planetary defense test back in 2022. But programs like this, they tend to be dual use, especially for China. A so-called planetary defense system could also very easily become a space weapon system because it's dual use. Now, with that said, the United States and the free world, they're increasingly recognizing the threats from the Chinese Communist Party. And as this develops, they're also increasingly recognizing the seriousness of the Chinese Communist Party's threats in space, which is, you know, still important. The United States still has the upper hand in this field, but the challenge is whether we can keep that upper hand. And with the new battle, notably, to control the entire Earth-Moon system, who's going to build the infrastructure, who's going to build the transit networks, who's going to build the bases, who's going to weaponize it, and notably, who can control it, and who can deny access to those who don't control it. Well, everyone, that's all for today. Let me know what you think in the comments about this whole new moon race. Also, please don't forget to share this episode to help us get the word out. And with that said, please take care of yourselves, stay informed, and stay free. Thank you.